All right, boys and girls, if you're listening, please touch your nose. If you're listening, give yourself antlers. Okay, if you're listening, give me thumbs up. All right, I've always wanted to try that in big church. If you haven't noticed yet, I'm not Donnie Case. I'm the children's minister, Jason Segelke, and it's great to have you here this morning. We're going to continue on in our series called This Is Us. And last week, Donnie shared with you about the connect in connect, grow, serve, and share. Donnie preached about the importance of connecting with God through community and worship. And today I want to carry on and I want to touch on that importance of God calling everyone that he's called to himself. He's also called to the church. God is very clear about wanting you to be a part of the church. When Scripture speaks of the church, it often uses the imagery of a bride and her groom when it talks about the intimate relationship between God and the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Revelation speaks of the presentation of the bride of Christ, the church, in chapter 19, in verse 7, saying, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Chapter 21, verse 2 says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for her husband." Now, if God spends so much time describing the church as the bride, and every time that we learn about marriage love in the Bible, it describes that love as sacred and exclusive, doesn't that suggest that God's love for the church is sacred and exclusive? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't hear me wrong here. John 3:16 clearly says that God loved the whole world and gave his son for it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God truly wants everyone to connect with him and be saved from his wrath. But that invitation is only extended for a certain amount of time. And what groom on his wedding day wants to hear someone describe his bride as boring or old-fashioned or at the wrong time on Sunday or hypocritical? Jesus isn't going to be impressed with anyone's excuses for not being a part of the church. Everyone God has called to himself, he has also called to the church. And as a part of that church, God calls us to grow. Today, I'd like to talk about the grow and connect, grow, serve, and share. Everyone that God has called, he has also called to grow within the church. And growing in our faith is also referred to as discipleship. I'd like to challenge you to think of discipleship in this way this morning. It's the process of letting go of ourselves and grabbing on to Jesus. It's the process of becoming more and more like him and less like the worst parts of us. I've got a picture up here on the screen. Does anyone recognize that? It's Michelangelo's David, and it's the appropriate one to show this morning. There's an old story about the unveiling of this statue that probably is not true, but anecdotally, it fits perfectly here, so I'm going to share it anyways. The story goes that at the unveiling of David's masterpiece, or Michelangelo's masterpiece, the David, someone asked him, "Michelangelo, how did you create such beauty out of a hunk of rock?" And he didn't miss a beat. He said, "Oh, it was simple. I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David." That's exactly what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to chip away the parts of us that don't look like his son. He loves us deeply, and he accepts us with all of our flaws. We don't have to clean up or get our acts together before we come to Jesus. But God's love does not stop at accepting us in spite of our sin. He wants us to be transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come." Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Salvation is a free gift, paid for in full by the blood of Christ. But discipleship is hard and has everything to do with our obedience. And it is not optional. See, sadly, a lot of people approach discipleship the same way they approach their taxes. I want to do just enough to stay out of trouble. Give me Jesus, but just enough to stay out of hell. That's how a lot of people approach their faith. God calls all Christians, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus for salvation, to become disciples. This sermon series is called This Is Us, not called This Is You. So as I preach today on the idea of growing, on the idea of discipleship, I want to focus in on how we can grow together as disciples. When we work together to chip away at the parts of us that don't look like Jesus, we allow God to do the work, to do his work through his people, to transform his people. And the first reason that we grow together as disciples is that together we arrive at the truth. Obviously, when we study God's word, we're trying to find his intended meaning. And we do that best when we study together. I want you to consider for a moment the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. An official in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he's on his way back home. And led by an angel and the Spirit of God, Philip discovers the man reading the book of Isaiah. And in verse 30 and 31, Acts chapter 8 tells us this. "Then Peter ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I, unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This impromptu group Bible study led not just to this man's salvation, but if tradition is true, it suggests that he carried the gospel back to his homeland. God could have sent the angel directly to this Ethiopian, or he could have revealed the truth of the scripture through his Spirit. But God delights in using us. God chose to work through Philip to show the truth to this man. God delights in our obedience as we share the truth of his word with others. And as the church, we are called to study God's word together, because God's word is his revelation of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 teaches that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Discovering the truth of God's word helps us to identify the parts of us that don't look like Jesus and need to be chipped away, the parts that don't reflect the image of his Son. At Maple Avenue, we provide opportunities every week to study God's word together. Our education hour at 9:30 a.m. provides multiple ways to join with others to work out the truth of Scripture. Our basics classes explore four basic topics on a rotation. Jesus 101 is a great primer of who Jesus is. How to Study Your Bible introduces people to the basic concepts of biblical study. Blueprint for Life looks at the purpose God has for our lives, and they do a spiritual gifts inventory that can show you exactly how God is forming you to serve. Exactly, it points that direction. Sorry, it's not going to give you a fill in the blank. Sorry. And Cover to Cover lays out a big picture view of the Bible as a whole. Each of these classes helps equip us for our everyday journey with Jesus. And beyond our basics classes, our other Sunday school classes either focus on a practical topic or a specific book of the Bible. Right now, Steve and Sherry Clemens are teaching a class about songs and hymns and their ability to point us to God's truth. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Tom Mahaffey and Tom Turner are studying the doctrine-rich book of Romans. Not only are we touching on Romans several times throughout the year, but we're teaching a whole Sunday school class about how Paul shares the gospel in a systematic way. But our education hour is so much more than a student-teacher classroom. Another reason why we grow as disciples together is that together we provide accountability and encouragement. Discipleship is a process, and anyone who has worked toward a hard goal knows that success can hinge on support. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Ephesians 4:25 warns us to not give up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we grow together, we see the parts of each other that don't look like Jesus and need to be chipped away. And sometimes we don't see that clearly on our own. We cheer each other on toward progress to living more Christ-like lives. When it comes to seeing this in the Bible, I want you to consider Peter and Paul. If there were ever two Christians that you think, well, maybe they could march the Christian walk on their own, you might think of Peter and Paul. They seem to have it together. But as we see in Galatians chapter 2, Paul has to call Peter out on something, and it hurts. In Galatians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, and they refer to Peter as Cephas here. Is it Cephas? Does that sound right to everybody? Okay, awesome. "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of the people who belonged to the group of circumcision. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so much so that their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of all of them, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" Peter and Paul served the same Lord. They studied the same scriptures, but they needed each other for accountability. Paul rebuked Peter for not holding true to the radical freedom of the gospel. Peter was slipping back into the old pattern of things, and Paul was not going to let the Gentiles suffer because of it. Now, I am not suggesting that our education hour is the time or place for the public airing of grievances, okay? There are ways to share the truth in love, and I'm sure, you know, Paul had to be forceful in this account, but when we come together in our Sunday school classes and our education hour, we share our prayer concerns with each other so that we can lift them up to God in prayer. We ask questions that can build each other up, and we get to know each other so that in good times and in bad, we can be there for each other. God never intended for his children to live in spiritual isolation. The church is where we find support to become what God wants us to be. Everyone he has called to himself, he has also called to the church. And as we grow together and we develop a biblical worldview and we build community through encouragement and accountability, we start to realize something. God is making us ready for more than we could have imagined. He is preparing us as disciples growing together And together, we are ready to serve in God's kingdom. As God is preparing the bride of Christ, this is no Cinderella story. We are not sitting around with a glass slipper in our hand waiting for Prince Charming. No, we've got work boots laced up underneath that dress. It's weird for me as a guy using the bride imagery, but it helps when I'm thinking about work boots. God has called us to serve. We do not grow in our faith. If you walk away with anything from the sermon, I want you to walk away with this. We do not grow in our faith because we're still somehow not good enough for God. The purpose of discipleship is not to make us holier so that somehow we can be worthy to stand in his presence. That is what the cross was for. Do not take that away from Jesus. His sacrifice is what made you presentable to God. So then why? Why do we grow? Why are we discipling each other? It is to prepare us to serve. Earlier I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But Paul goes on in the very next verse to say why. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is chipping away at us, transforming us individually and as a church to do his will. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God answers that prayer, but he doesn't do it by waving a magic wand and changing our circumstances or changing the world without our participation. He does it by changing us through his word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. We're kidding ourselves if we think that we can love God and benefit from his word without submitting ourselves to his authority and serving his purpose through the church. If you're coming to church and you're coming to one of the elective classes and you're studying your Bible and you're praying, but it just feels like something's missing, you're probably right. If all this churchy stuff is just to fill time until Jesus comes back, or if it's just to keep your parents happy, or get your spouse off your back, or anything besides preparing for active service, then it's going to feel empty. We connect with God in worship, and we grow through his word, and it becomes apparent that he has redeemed us to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. That might be the hardest part of this whole thing to grasp. We are not our own, but boy, we want to be sometimes. It's at the center of the process of discipleship, the process of letting go of ourselves and grabbing on to Jesus, of becoming more and more like him individually and as the church. And if it sounds like I'm starting to dip into next week's sermon topic of serve, then you've been paying attention. Each of these steps in connect, grow, serve, and share leads into the next one naturally. It's why our logo, our church logo, looks the way it does. We didn't just think arrows were cool. It's a process. When we connect with God, we want to grow closer to God. When we grow closer to God, we know that he's calling us to serve. And when we serve God, we are sharing his word with others so that they can connect with God.